Good evening, everyone. We're going to make a wee start to our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 222. The hymn number 222, you'll find it on the page 266 of your hymn book. It's a wonderful old gospel hymn. It says, "Come, ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and power. He is able, he is able, he is willing. Doubt no more." 222, standing as we sing. Let's stand as we sing. we'll just look to the Lord in prayer, looking to the Lord for His help and blessing and presence with us this evening. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we do rejoice tonight in the goodness and in the mercy of our God toward us. We thank You for ordering our steps and enabling us to gather here tonight in the house of the Lord. And we come to Thee, O God, in no merit of our own. But, O God, we come to Thee in and through the finished work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, the One who was our sin-bearer upon the cross of Calvary. And, Father, we thank Thee that upon that cross Christ was wounded for our transgressions. We thank Thee, O God, that He was bruised for our iniquities. We praise Thee, O God, that with His stripes we are healed. We thank Thee tonight for that salvation that is full and rich and free, as we've been singing, is without money and is without price, because Christ paid for it in full upon that cross. And Father, we thank Thee for that altogether sufficient atonement for sin. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for the precious blood of Christ that it cleanseth us from all our sins. And we thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for each one in this gathering tonight who can rejoice in Christ as their Redeemer, who can say with the psalmist of old, as far as the east is from the west, so far have He removed our transgressions from us. And Father, tonight we thank Thee, Lord, as Thy people, for the comfort of the gospel. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We thank Thee that we have been saved from the wrath to come, saved by and through the blood of the Lamb. And Father, we thank Thee that we have in Christ our great High Priest in heaven, one who prays for us continually, one who bears our names and our needs, O God, before Thee. And Father, we thank Thee tonight that Thou hast promised that Thy grace is sufficient for our every need. We thank Thee for the blessing of the Lord's Day. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for Thy presence with us here in Thy house this morning, in our Sunday school and Bible class, and in our time of worship around Thy Word. But, O God, we cannot rest upon past blessings. We do need Thee tonight. And, Lord, we confess we need Thee more than ever. And we pray tonight for a gracious sense of the presence of the Lord. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt draw near. Do cleanse our hearts afresh in the Savior's precious blood. And Father, grant us a blessed time tonight around Thy Word. And Lord, our prayer would be that above and beyond the voice of man or the voice of the preacher, that the voice of the Lord will be heard, that still small voice that comes from heaven. Bless every saint of God in this meeting. We thank Thee for each and every one that is saved who can rejoice in Christ as their Redeemer. Lord, bless Thy people. Lord, help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to be those that are strong in the Lord and in the power of Thy might day by day. Keep us close to Thee, Lord. Keep us in the center, Lord, of Thy will, in that place where Thou canst bless us and use us, that we might let our light shine before others, that even by our testimony others too would be pointed to the Lord. And bless every family tonight that is represented. Do meet the need of all our homes and our family circles, we pray. And do unite our family circles in the Lord. Lord, each one of us have loved ones outside of Christ, or perhaps so far off from Thee. We pray that Thou wilt have mercy, Lord, upon such. And on that day of days when Christ returns in power and in great glory, we pray that all will be safely gathered in. For any with us tonight, old or young, not saved, Lord, speak to them. And Father, we pray that even tonight that they might come in faith and in repentance and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. May they realize their need of the Savior. May they see the sufficiency of Christ and the sufficiency of His atoning death to blot out their sin and to save their precious, never-dying soul. And Father, we pray that even tonight that they would choose Christ and trust Him as their Savior. We're mindful of those tonight unable to join with us because of age and sickness and infirmity. Lord, bless them and minister to their needs. We pray for those that have suffered loss in recent times. Lord, fill the vacant chair with the presence of God. Be their helper and be their strength in their time of need. Now do remember all those also who may be listening in online, whoever they are, wherever they might be, meet them at the point of their need. And Lord, have a word in season for them, and draw near by thy grace and by thy power. Bless every outreach, Lord, from this congregation, the online ministry, the children's ministry, youth fellowship, the door-to-door ministry, and Lord, the open-air work as well. Lord, may your hand of blessing be upon it, even in the week that lies ahead. Lord, use all these efforts, we pray, for the extension of the kingdom of God. Bless this town, Lord. Bless this community. Now remember, Lord, the many homes around this church. And as thou dost see the need of every home, draw near, we pray, by thy Spirit. Work in hearts and lives to the glory of thy name. Bless our land tonight, our province and all of its need. Bless every faithful servant of God here in Northern Ireland and the south of Ireland. We think of many faithful witnesses as well in the mainland of England, Scotland, and Wales. Bless every faithful ambassador for Christ and visit these islands as in former times. And Lord, may there be days of revival again. Bless us now, we pray. Do us good tonight. Draw very near. Grant us the help of thy Spirit and the leading of the Spirit in every part of this meeting tonight. Bring glory and honor to Christ. And have thy way amongst us and do every heart good, we pray. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Turning again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 284. 284, another wonderful gospel hymn. Whene'er we meet, you always say, what's the news? Pray, what's the order of the day? What's the news? Oh, I've got good news to tell. My Savior have done all things well and triumphed over death and hell. That's the news. And praise God, that's the testimony tonight. If every one of us who were saved by the grace of God in this meeting, praise God that we've got good news to tell. 284, standing as we sing. And as we sing, away. you have your Bible with you tonight, I'd ask you to turn to the Old Testament book of 1 Kings and the chapter number 18. We're turning tonight in God's Word to the Old Testament book of 1 Kings chapter 18, and beginning our reading at verse 1 of the chapter. You'll find 1 Kings in the early part of the Old Testament. We're turning to 1 Kings chapter 18 and the verse number 1. Let us hear the Word of the Lord as we read it together this evening. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, And how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But of Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Amen. Faith and put your trust in Jesus Christ and know the wonderful joy of sins forgiven. We welcome also those who may be viewing online. We thank you for joining with us. We pray the Lord will bless you through his word also. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember that today, being the first Sunday of the month, is Building Fund Offering. Tomorrow night, we'd value your prayers as we go down to Mullingar to the Consider Christ meeting down there at 8 p.m. Do pray for that. Pray for the literature given out yesterday, and that even through that, there'll be people who will come in under the sound of God's word and come to saving faith in Christ as Savior. Tuesday night here in the church, 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We commend that to every believer. Thursday night also at 7:30, there'll be a short rehearsal just for those taking part in the Act of Remembrance and the Remembrance Night Service, and that should certainly be no more than an hour, but maybe 45 minutes or so on Thursday evening. Friday morning, 11:15, the open-air witness of her brother Colin and myself at the Diamond in Enniskillen. Do note the slight change of time, 11:15, and also the change of day, not the Saturday, but Friday morning. Friday night, 8 p.m., the Youth Fellowship here, and our brother Colin Maxwell will be ministering God's Word. We encourage all the youth to gather along on Friday night. This coming Friday as well at 8 p.m. in our Oma Church, there's a special ordination service for Mr. Darrell Monteith to the office of elder, and all there are most welcome. I do remember in your prayers the Bethel Children's Crusade meetings this week, each night at 6:30, Tuesday night in Tresna, Thursday night Maguire's Bridge, Friday night here in Bethel. And next Lord's Day, the 13th of November, Sabbath School and Bible Class, 11 a.m. morning worship service, 12 noon, preceded by the time of prayer, 11:30. And then at 7 p.m., the special annual Remembrance Night service. Do remember that. There's wee invitation cards for that out on the table in the porch. We encourage you to take those, give them out. All members of the public and present members of our security forces and ex-service personnel are most welcome. And I would ask that all the service personnel would maybe meet beforehand just in the prayer room from 6:30 onward on that Sunday evening. So do remember that. And on account of that, the evening night prayer meeting will be just in the minister's room. There'll be extra chairs there just to accommodate those who can gather for the season of prayer. The offering will be to the Poppy Appeal, Let the Bible Speak Ministry. And there'll also be supper for all, and just on account of that, if perhaps the ladies could meet just briefly tonight in the prayer room, just to make preparation for the supper next Lord's Day evening. So do remember that, pray for it. I know many of you here in the past have served in our security forces, police, UDR, And do remember even comrades that you've served with, give them that invite, encouragement to come along, and pray that the Lord's blessing and presence will be known in the service. Monday night, the 14th of November at 8 p.m., is the ladies' fellowship meeting. That's open to all ladies who are welcome and to bring their friends with them. And the speaker is Miss Heller Watson from Aromer Church. Sister Heller's worked for many years with CES in West Tyrone. She'll be giving a short report on that and bringing God's word to the ladies. The ladies' fellowship Christmas dinner will be on Monday night, the 12th of December at 7 p.m. in the restaurant in the Mart. And again, all ladies are welcome, and to bring their friends and all going, would you please put your name on the sheet out there on the porch as soon as possible. Also on Monday night, the 14th, we'll be speaking at a Let the Bible Speak television recording broadcast up in Lurgan. Pray for that. And again, any of the brethren wishing to go with us that night, put your name on the sheet. We'll perhaps have to leave here about 6:45 or so on that evening. As we mentioned this morning, our brother, Mr. Raymond Medill, will be retiring as church treasurer at the end of this year. And Mr. Jeffrey Scott has been appointed by the committee as the new treasurer. We want to thank our brother Raymond for his labours in this work so faithfully over many years. And we encourage you also to pray for our brother Jeffrey as he takes up that work. Our Keish Church have commenced a 2-week gospel mission down in the Pedigo Community Centre, Sunday 3:30, weeknights 8 p.m. There's various speakers. Pray for those meetings, and if you can at all, go along and support them. This coming Saturday as well, the Youth Council are having a missionary conference in our Dungannon Church. That's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. All young people are welcome, and there's various missionary speakers. And as we mentioned this morning, I'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy to our sister, Mrs. Joan Moore, who lost 2 of her sisters in the week that has passed. We also sympathize with her brother, Mr. Tommy Robinson, his wife, Edith, and also son, David, and wife, Brenda. Tommy lost an uncle as well in the week that has gone by, and we share both those families of our prayers and our sympathies at this time of loss. That's all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to hymn number 343. 343, a wonderful hymn reminding us of God's wonderful love to His people and Christ. The hymn writer says, "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me." Praise God, when you're saved, you can rejoice in that love that knows no change, that love that is eternal. And dear friend, not saved, if you too come to Christ, then you too will be able to rejoice in that wonderful love day by day. 343, keeping our seats while we sing the early part of the hymn. We don't take up an offering during the service, but the offering plates are at the rear as you leave. For the final verse.
Oh, the
turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to the book of 1 Kings and the chapter number 18. And with God's Word open before us, let us bow together, please, in a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence already with us here tonight. We thank Thee for the blessing of being able to sing the praises of our Savior and of Thy wonderful love toward us. We thank Thee for Thy Word, and as we come now to consider it, Lord, bless Thy Word to every heart. Lord, Thou alone who sees the need, we pray that Thou would break the bread of life to our souls. Bless Thy Word to the strengthening of every child of God in this meeting house. Bless Thy Word to the salvation of those who know not Christ as Savior. And Lord, use Thy Word even tonight to bring glory and honor unto Thy name. Undertake now, I pray. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God. Be mouth, matter, and wisdom unto us, Lord, in the preaching of Thy Word. Guide our thoughts, direct our words, and apply Thy Word with power to all our hearts this night. We ask for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text, Scripture for this evening, you will find in verse number 21 of 1 Kings and the chapter number 18. It is a question that you find there really in the middle part of that verse. And the question is this: how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. 1 Kings 18 tells how the nation of Israel was engulfed in a time of terrible religious apostasy. Throughout the land, there had been a departure from God and His Word. And instead of the people choosing religious worship that was of God, instead they chose that religious worship that was false and idolatrous. Indeed, the chapter tells how they chose the religion of Baal worship. Now, Israel's apostasy did not go unnoticed by God, nor did it go unjudged by God, because as a result of their sin, a terrible drought and a terrible famine comes upon the land. Go back to chapter 17, verse 1. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, that's the king of Israel, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Look at the end there of verse 2 of chapter 18. It says, "There was a sore famine in Samaria." And by this judgment of famine and drought, it came upon the land because of the people's sin and following after that worship that was false and contrary to God. But as well as visiting Israel with judgment, God was also to visit the land with mercy. And in mercy, God sends His prophet by the name of Elijah the Tishbite. Yes, his ministry was one of rebuking the people for their sin, but along with that, he was also used as an instrument of reformation for God and to the ways of God in the land. And whenever we come to the end of 1 Kings chapter 18, we find Elijah is upon Mount Carmel. And here he proves to all that God in heaven still reigns supreme. And this is the one that Israel were to worship, the one that they were to fear, the one that they were to trust in, the one that they were to obey, and the one that they were to serve. We see on this mountain how Elijah, he arranges a contest between himself and the false prophets of the day. We see how the false prophets, they make an altar and they put a sacrifice upon it. Then they call upon their false gods to send fire and to consume the offering. This they did, but nothing was to happen. The sacrifice remained as it was upon their altars. Then we see also how Elijah makes one altar with a sacrifice upon it. The altar and the sacrifice, we are told, is soaked and flooded with water. Look at verse 35 of the chapter. It says, "And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water." And then in response to the prayers of Elisha, the man of God, God sends fire.
And he consumes his offering. And by this, all Israel are made to see that the Lord is the one who is God over all. And look at verse 38, verse 39 of the chapter. It says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, 'The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God.'" Now, this contest between the prophets of Baal and between God's prophet Elijah himself, it was preceded by a particular call from Elijah to the people. It was a call, yes, rebuking the people for their sin of indecision in not trusting the Lord and in not following the Lord. And we find that call in the words of our text tonight here in verse 21, 1 Kings chapter 18, where it says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, 'How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him.' And the people answered him not a word." How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And tonight, dear friends, in the time that is left in this gospel meeting, it is this rebuke of Israel's sin of indecision that I want us to consider and look at tonight. You see, Israel's sin here of indecision in the day of the prophet Elijah, yes, it is important because it reminds us of all, whoever they are in society, even tonight, who are still undecided in the all-important matter of them putting their faith and putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Yes, this rebuke here of Israel and their indecision in following the Lord in the day of Elijah is but a picture of all those, yes, who hear the gospel. Yes, those who know the gospel. Yet a picture also of those who still reject the Lord Jesus Christ to be their own and personal Savior. And considering then this call and this rebuke of Israel's sin of indecision, there are three things I want to set before you tonight. Notice first of all here with me the place of Israel's indecision. Look again at verse number 21, our text that says, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him." And there you see that the place of Israel's indecision, it was that of halting between two opinions, or if you like, halting between two religions. On the one side, there was the false religion of Baal worship that was sinful and idolatrous, that was a product of the evil heart of mankind. And then on the other hand, there was the religion of the Lord God, Jehovah, the God of heaven. God's religion was that which came from heaven. It was planned in the very heart of God. It was that which was true and just and opposed to all that was sinful and evil, because the Bible tells us God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, this was the indecision that Israel was guilty of in the day of the prophet Elijah. Dear friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this, that if you are still undecided about the matter of God's salvation, then you too are guilty of the same sin of indecision as Israel of old in the day of the prophet Elijah. My, just like Agrippa of old, who said to Paul the apostle, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Friend, I'm saved. That's a picture of you. Yes, Agrippa was undecided about trusting Christ as Savior. Is that a picture of one in our meeting tonight? Yes, you have heard the gospel. You know the gospel. Yet tonight in this gospel meeting finds you undecided about trusting Christ and following Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. Well, friend, I must warn you that if you do not choose to follow God and you do not choose to embrace His salvation, then you choose the religion of sin, of Satan, of all that is opposed to God. Yes, you're choosing a religion that has no hope, no hope for you in time, a religion that has no hope for you in eternity. Yes, Israel were in the place of indecision, halting between two opinions. Should they follow God? Should they go on with their false religion and false worship of Baal? We can say further tonight that the place of Israel's indecision was also that of halting between two masters. For it says there in our text, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But of Baal, follow him. And the one side was Baal. Baal was the devil's representative. You see, the devil is the master of superstition, of tyranny, of ignorance, of fear, of false religion, of darkness and of death. He is the author of it all. We turn in our Bibles over to John's Gospel and to the chapter number 8. And here we have Christ speaking about the work of Satan, the work of the devil. In verse 44 of that chapter, as he speaks to those that have rejected him as Savior, he reminds them of the works of the devil and what he is about. In John chapter 8, verse 44, he says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. Wherefore he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it." And there we are told from the words of Christ how the devil is the one who's responsible for that which is evil, murder, lies, lust, and all those things that are contrary to God and to the word of God. And why the devil was behind this false religion, this false worship of Baal worship in the day of the prophet Elijah. But then on the other hand, there was the Lord. And the Lord, yes, he is the master of life. He is the master of light. The one who brings freedom. The one who brings victory over sin. The one whose whole purpose it is to save mankind from the awful ruin and penalty of their sin. You remember what Christ said about his own mission here on earth. He said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Christ has come to save and deliver lost sinners. You remember what the angel said to Joseph regarding the incarnation of Christ. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Christ has come to save sinners from their sins. Well, you remember what Paul said of Christ as he wrote to Timothy. He said, our Savior Jesus Christ have abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What a glorious Savior Christ is. He has come to bring life and light and liberty. If you turn in your Bible over to Isaiah chapter 61, and the opening verses in particular of that chapter, there we see a wonderful portrait of the ministry of Christ and of what Christ has come to do in the hearts and lives of those that are wrecked and ruined by sin. He says in verse 1 of Isaiah 61, and this is all about Christ, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Christ has come to bring comfort to the sinner. He's come to save the sinner. He's come to emancipate and to liberate the sinner from the bondage of sin. Oh, this is the ministry of Christ. This is the good news, the welcome news that Christ brings to sinners, to those whose lives are marred and ruined by sin. Yes, Israel here in the day of the prophet Elijah were halting between two masters. Should they go on following Baal? Or should they follow the Lord, the one who has come to bring life and light and liberty to all who trust him? Yes, Israel halted between two masters. And I wonder, friend, is this not a picture of you also tonight who are still unsaved? Still without God's salvation? Well, friend, the Bible warns against this practice and tells you how you cannot serve two masters in this life. You cannot serve two masters in this world. And in the scene of time, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon's another name for the world. In other words, dear friend, this is an issue where you cannot sit, as it were, on the fence. There's no in-between ground here. As the hymn writer says, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Well, I must warn you tonight that if you refuse Christ as Savior and you refuse God's offer of salvation through Him, you're siding with sin, siding with Satan, siding with darkness, siding with tyranny, siding with death. Because the Bible says, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Yes, we see here the place of Israel's indecision. But notice secondly tonight, notice the reason for Israel's indecision in the day of the prophet Elijah. Yes, Israel were guilty of indecision. Why? Because it appeared that the vast majority were on the side of Baal. At the contest here in Mount Carmel, there was only one prophet of God versus 850 false prophets. Look at verse 19 of the chapter. Notice what it says. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, notice it, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. On one side there was one man of God, Elijah, and the other side there was 850 prophets of Baal and of the grove. Therefore there were those in Israel, and they did not want to be seen, as it were, to go against the general flow of the day in which they lived. Might appear, yes, that the majority were following after Baal and that worship and that way of life that was contrary to God and to God's word and God's truth. Dear friend, I wonder tonight, is this the reason why you're still not saved? Yes, is it because you don't want, as it were, to go against the flow? You don't want, as it were, to go against the crowd? Yes, is it because of this very reason that you're still unsaved? You think, yes, that if I trust the Lord, if I follow Him, if I serve Him, if I live for Him, then I'll have to stand alone. I'll be going against the flow and the crowd, the world will be against me. Well, friend, tonight realize this. Yes, you may run and you may side with the devil's crowd, with the world's crowd. But the Lord warns you against this choice. The Lord warns you against this stance, for he says in Matthew's Gospel, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. He says, enter in at the straight gate. Forget about the broad way and the crowded way, that way that is contrary to God. The Bible says, though hand joined in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. There were those following Baal in the day of Elijah the prophet, those who turned away from the Lord because they thought they were staying in with the crowd, they were staying in with the majority. Friend, is that why you're still not saved tonight? Also, Israel were guilty here of indecision because of the fear of man. They were those and they were afraid of the wrath of wicked Ahab. Obadiah himself had mentioned that in a reading earlier on tonight. Therefore, such in their fear, they did not follow the Lord. They did not side with the Lord. Well, friend, let me ask you tonight, is the fear of man the reason why you're still not saved? Still going on living in your sin? The Bible says the fear of man, it bringeth a snare. Well, I would urge you tonight, do not let the fear of man stop you or hold you back from making that most important decision, that most important choice of your life, that choice of embracing Christ, of choosing Christ and trusting Christ to be your Savior. Whenever Martin Luther trusted the Lord and sought to follow the Lord, and was said to him that all the world was against him. And in reply to that comment, he says, well, I'm against the whole world.
Unsaved friend, follow his example of courage. Far better to be on God's side. Far better to trust the Lord and follow the Lord and embrace his salvation than to be in the side of the world and that which is contrary to God and the ways of God. Yes, Israel were guilty of indecision because there were those who wanted to keep in with the crowd. They were undecided in following the Lord because of the fear of man. But we can say further tonight that Israel were guilty of indecision because of procrastination. You look at what it says following our text there at the end of verse 21 in the chapter. It says, when Elijah says, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him." Look at the final statement of the verse. It says, "And the people answered him not a word." In other words, they put off to another time that which they should have done long ago and following the Lord and choosing the Lord and trusting the Lord. They procrastinated this issue. Friend, can I say to you tonight, can I warn you tonight, the longer you delay on the matter of your soul salvation, the harder it will be for you to get saved. Harder it will be for you to get right with God. The devil will put up every roadblock, every obstacle in your way to keep you back from Christ and keep you back from getting right with God. You see, that is why the Bible says, "Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time." That is why the Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Do not put off the matter of your soul's salvation. Do not put off this matter of getting right with God and choosing Christ and trusting Christ as your own and personal Savior. Yes, we see the place of Israel's indecision, the reason for their indecision. But notice finally tonight with me, notice the folly of Israel's indecision. In our text here tonight, Elijah says, "How long halt ye?" And those words really, we could say, were the prophet's lament, warning Israel of the awful folly of not following the Lord and not trusting the Lord. Their indecision, yes, would lead to increased difficulties in the land. Famine and drought had already come as a judgment for their sin. And if Israel did not repent, there would be more in the land. There'd be more in the nation. And friend, I must warn you tonight, the more you continue on in sin, the more trouble it will bring in your life. Sin brings trouble. It will bring trouble into your life and indeed all that concerns you. The Bible says, "He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." The Bible says, "Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil." You look at verse 18 of the chapter. Notice what it says about the cause of trouble in the land of Israel at this time. Verse 18 of the chapter, it says of Elijah, and he answered, "I have not troubled Israel." The verse before that, Ahab accused him of troubling Israel and troubling the land. And Elijah responds in verse 18 by saying, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou," speaking here of Ahab, "but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." And there Elijah spelt it out in black and white very clearly, that the cause of all the trouble and the judgment and the famine and the dearth in the land was because of Ahab, because of his sin and the false religion of Balaam and Baal worship in the land. Sin always brings trouble. It brings heartache. Turn in your Bible over to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. And look at what you read there in verse number 20 of that chapter. And here we see the effects of sin, the outworking of sin. Look at what it says. It says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." You think of the sea, it's never at rest. It's always ebbing and flowing. It might appear still, maybe on a calm day, but still there's a movement in the water. There's no rest. And then a storm comes. And what happens when there's a storm in the shoreline? There's muck and there's mire and there's dirt washed up in the shoreline. Well, when the sea is roaring and the waves are in a tumult. That's a picture of sin. You look at our society tonight, all around us in the world, there's the muck and the mire of sin. There's unrest. People have no peace, no happiness, no joy, no contentment. And it's all because of sin. Sin is a thief. Sin is a robber. It robs people of peace, of happiness, of true joy in life. Oh, friend, unsaved tonight, there's a warning here for you. The longer you continue on in sin, it will bring trouble into your life. And not only that, it will control your life. It will direct your life. The Bible speaks of the unsaved and says, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. Whenever ivy wraps itself around another tree or shrub or whatever, what it does is it eventually kills that tree. It destroys that tree. It robs it of life and vitality. And that's really a picture of sin. Sin robs lives of peace, of happiness, of joy, of life, of liberty, of blessing. Friend, unsaved sin will take you farther, much farther than you'll ever want to go. And sin will cause you to pay far more than you ever want to pay. Oh, there's a price with sin. Also, Israel's indecision, it led to a loss of opportunity. With the famine, there was death. So the longer Israel waited to get right with God, the less opportunities they had to be saved and to be delivered from their sin. Likewise, dear friend, in our meeting tonight, the longer you wait to get saved and get right with God, the less opportunities you will have to be saved and to be right with God. For the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And if death comes for you unsaved, every opportunity for you to get saved, get right with God, prepare for eternity, will be gone. Gone forever, never to be retrieved anymore. The only opportunity you and I have for being saved and getting right with God and preparing for eternity is now, here in this scene of time. That is why the Bible says, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. We can say also that Israel's indecision would lead to irreparable ruin. In other words, ruin that could never be repaired. Ruin that could never be retrieved. You see, all who died in their sin were lost in hell forevermore. You turn in your Bible back to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16, and here you read of those that were caught up in the rebellion of Korah in the day of Moses, who sinned against the Lord. And notice the outworking of their sin. Notice what the Bible says, what happened to them in their sin. Numbers chapter 16 and the verse number 32 and the verse number 33. Here you see God's judgment upon them. And it says, the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Notice what it says. They went down alive into the pit. Notice that word, the reference there to the pit. The Old Testament language, that word for pit is the word Sheol, the word hell. It's translated 31 times hell in the scriptures. That was the judgment of God upon those on the day of Korah because of their sin. They went down to the pit. They went down to a lost sinner's hell. And people, God has not changed. God still punishes sin in the same way. And if you die unsaved, if you leave this world not a Christian, not saved, then you die in your sin and your soul will be forever lost in hell, the lake of fire. The Bible speaks of such who are unsaved and says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. That's the end of sin. It means you leaving this world if you die unsaved and going out to that place called hell, that place of outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth. That place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. A place of everlasting punishment and judgment for sin. Oh, friend, in light of such an awful ruin, I urge you to trust the Lord as Savior.
I urge you to follow him in Christ. You'll find salvation from sin. You'll find pardon for your sin. You'll find peace with God. You'll find grace to live for God. You'll have the promise of his presence. And that way of salvation is by faith in Christ and the blood of Christ and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone on Calvary's cross. The hymn writer says, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light. Of the way of the cross, I must, friend, unsaved tonight, may you come to Christ. May you choose Christ. Put your trust in him. Trust in his sacrifice. Trust in his blood shed upon Calvary's cross. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus and says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes were healed. The Bible says he saves to the uttermost. He saves for eternity those who trust him. In the chapter before us here tonight, we've read of Elijah. Elijah knew the Lord. Knew the Lord as a Savior. The very name Elijah means God is my salvation. He trusted the Lord. He followed the Lord. He served the Lord. He stood for the Lord. God blessed him. God used him in a very dark day in Israel. And then one day, God took him suddenly home to heaven. Suddenly home to glory. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter number 2. Just over a little bit in your Bible reading. 2 Kings chapter number 2. And go down to verse number 11. Here we have Elijah in company with Elisha, the man who was to follow him as prophet in Israel. Look at what it says in verse number 11 of 2 Kings chapter 2. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind. Where did he go? He went up into heaven. He went up into glory. He was taken home to heaven. And we know for sure that he went to heaven that day. Why? Because many years later in the New Testament, you read of the disciples with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. And who appeared with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration but Elijah and Moses, it says, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with them. Elias is but another name for Elijah. You see, Elijah was alive forevermore in heaven, alive forevermore in glory. Why? Because he trusted the Lord. He chose Christ. He embraced Christ. He followed the Lord. Friend, to follow sin and follow the world and false religion, it's the way of death. It's the way that leads to hell, to ruin. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But praise God, if you follow Christ, confess your sins to him. Trust him as your own and personal Savior. He will bless you. He'll pardon your sins. Give you grace to live that life more abundant than Jesus. And then one day he'll take you up to heaven. He'll take you up to glory. To be with himself and to be with all God's redeemed people forevermore. Praising the Lord. Friend, tonight unsaved, be wise. Choose Christ. Embrace Christ. You heed the words of our text tonight. It says, how long halt ye between two opinions? Of the Lord be God. Follow him. If you're not saved tonight, halting between two opinions, undecided between Christ and sin, undecided between Christ and the world, heed the message of the gospel tonight. And choose Christ, trust him, and embrace him. And praise God, you'll have the joy of your sins forgiven. You'll be saved. Washed in the blood of Christ and made ready for heaven. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 243. 243, sinners Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave. All who linger, all who fall, sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth a sinful man. We're going to sing the first and the second verses only. Verses 1 and 2 along with the chorus. Standing as we sing 243. And stand as we sing.
Sinner Jesus.
Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here tonight. We thank Thee for help given in the ministry of Thy Word. Bless Thy Word, bless Thy truth to every heart. We thank Thee for each one in the gathering tonight who has chosen Christ, who is following Christ and seeking to live for Him day by day. But Lord, for any in the gathering tonight not saved, halting perhaps between two opinions, oh, that tonight, Lord, they would turn away from the opinions of men, of self, and of the world, that they would turn to Christ and trust Him and embrace Him as their own and personal Savior. Answer prayer to this end. Take us to our homes in safety. Journey with us. Bless us in the week that lies before us. For we pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. And amen.